Ministries. And me and my family, we've now been with Rock of Ages 3 years. And this is our home church, Tabernacle Baptist Church. I was sitting there on the front row thinking, I believe it was along about 5 years ago, October, we first walked into this church. And I think the first person I met was Jeff Mills. And he didn't run me off. I don't know how it happened, but I think he was the first person to shake my hand. And me and my wife came back. And many of y'all know some of the things we had experienced. Pastor Adams was a great blessing to us. And y'all folks were a great blessing to us in all that we have been through. And we're glad to be here again. And it was about a year later, as I said, or a couple years later, 2 or 3 years later, we decided to join the Rock of Ages. The Lord opened that door for us and laid that on our heart. And we've now been with the ministry 3 years and very excited about all the Lord is doing in the ministry, all the Lord has done in, throughout these last 3 years, and looking forward to an upcoming year, 2019. Got a lot of things scheduled. This year's kind of winding down, and so we were able to be here towards the end of the month. I told Brother Shane we'd help in any way we could, and so it looks like we're going to be here the next couple weeks. But we're very excited about that. And just a quick update on the ministry, and then we'll get to the message this morning. As you know, I took over for a coordinator's position for the state of South Carolina, which now means I've got 12 prisons in that state that are my responsibility for getting into, conducting revival meetings and everything. We've got everything scheduled for next year for those upcoming prison meetings. Do pray that the Lord will continue to open the door there in South Carolina. Many of you know the situation. The state has been on lockdown, which basically means those inmates have been locked in their cell for 24 hours a day, only getting out 3 times a week to go take a shower. And so some of those prisons are now starting to transition. They're coming off of lockdown, but because of that, they're having problems. You could imagine you've been in lockdown or been locked up since April, not able to get out of a cell, much less even leave that prison dorm. And so a lot of those men, they're coming off lockdown. There's a lot of issues still happening there. And so pray that transition will go smooth and go quickly. We're excited about that. Also pray for my wife. She's now going to be working with Miss Debbie Green, which is a full-time missionary with Rock of Ages, working with her, helping coordinate the ladies' prisons in the state of South Carolina. And so she's also taking on some new responsibilities next year. And so pray for her in that. She's excited about that. We were able, me and her both, were able to be in prison. Was it Sunday? Or, yeah, last Sunday, before the snow, before the snow. 2 Sundays ago. We were able to, when was it? Last Friday. Okay, I knew it was sometime. But last Friday, we were able to be in a Columbia Care Correctional. We had a great meeting there in Columbia, South Carolina. We were able to give out over 300 cookies, also 300 treat bags to those patients and inmates in that institution. The Lord blessed that meeting. I think we had 4 saved in that meeting total, and we thank the Lord for that. Coming up in January, the first part, I'll be going for a week to Commerce, Georgia for some training with Rock of Ages. And then we've also got 3 prisons scheduled for the month of January that I'll be helping in. 2 in the state of South Carolina, 1 in the state of North Carolina. And so do pray for us in our schedule in January. Also, many deputation meetings. In fact, I'm almost full, booked full through April already as far as either in prison or deputy field, as far as some meetings needed there. And so pray the Lord will do that. And also pray as we transition to this new house. It's been a trip, we'll just say that. There's a lot of work that's gone into that, but the Lord is finally blessed in that. And I tell you, the devil don't want anything good to happen. He really don't. He'll fight you every way. And I mean, just as something, as I was telling them in Sunday school, you know, I needed to go up in the attic with a flashlight. I had 3 flashlights, and every one of the light bulbs burned out as soon as I turned them on. And so, you know, just little things like that. Pray the Lord will allow this transition to go smooth this next week, that we're able to get in there and get finished that and get settled there before Christmas. And again, it is good to be with you this morning. We're excited about what the Lord's doing in our lives, and grateful to have some time with you around this time of the year this morning, and hopefully be a blessing to you. Luke chapter number 2 this morning. I want to begin reading in verse number 8. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." Let me say this quickly this morning. As I read that verse this morning and thought about that verse, I think it's amazing that the Lord can show up anywhere. I think about these shepherds and these men and what they were doing. They were basically at work doing their job, going about their everyday business, and the Lord is about to show up. You know, I think about sometimes us as believers, we get caught up in the routine. We think that we kind of get caught up in just going on about our daily business, and we think, well, Lord, where are you at? But understand this, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord can show up at any moment. The Lord can move our heart any second of every day of our lives, those of us that are born again. And so when you think that the Lord don't care, you think you're alone, don't forget that God is always present. God is always ready to work on our behalf and always ready to move in our direction. Verse number 9, it says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Let's pray. Father in heaven, I love you this morning, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to be in this place. Thank you, Lord, for our home church. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing that they are to me and my family. Thank you, Lord, for all these that have gathered today. The visitors, Lord, we thank you for them as well. Father, I do pray now that you please empty me of myself. Lord, I pray you'd fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray you'd remove any pride. Lord, remove any fear. Lord, any nervousness this morning. Father, I pray you'd give me clarity of thought and mind, clarity of speech as I try to preach thy word. Father, I need you this morning. Lord, I pray you'd strengthen me even now. Lord, I pray for my audience. May they listen with open ears and open hearts and be receptive to the word of God. Lord, may Christians be encouraged and challenged. May sinners be convicted and brought to a place of repentance. Lord, give me good pace as I preach. In Jesus' name, amen. I think about this passage of Scripture and a word comes to mind. And that word is simply this, a declaration. A declaration. I looked up that word, declaration. And the term declaration simply means an expression of fact. It means a public announcement or an expression of promise. You see, in our story and in our text this morning, the angels are making an expression of fact. That a Savior had been born. That the Messiah had come. I think about this time of year and all that's going on in our lives and all that is happening. If we're not careful, we'll get caught up in the Christmas story. And we'll forget to remember that that story is fact. It is not fiction. It is not something made up in the imagination of a man or a woman. It is not something that has been pinned down by some great writer. But it is a fact, a historical fact, that the Messiah has come. Not only that, but it was a public announcement. Think about this matter of a public announcement. It was made known so that every man, every woman, every child throughout the world would have the opportunity to hear that a Savior had come. And then I think about how that it was an expression of promise. The fact that it was a promise given by God that was now fulfilled. I think about throughout history itself, there have been many declarations. I think of two such declarations by way of introduction this morning. First of all, I think about the declaration that happened on July 4th, 1776. You say, what took place on that date? Well, 13 colonies declared independence from Britain. Well, the United States of America was formed, and those 13 colonies come out and said, we are going to become an independent nation. I'm very grateful for such a day that this nation was born and formed by declaring ourselves free from the tyranny of England. And then I think about the declaration of war. that took place on December 8th, 1941, when the United States was plunged into World War II. On December 7th, if you know history, the U.S. Naval Force was attacked at Pearl Harbor. And because of such an attack, the United States was left with no choice but to declare war on Japan. 2 days later, I believe it would be, Nazi Germany would declare war on the United States, and the entire world would be plunged into World War II. And so we see both of these declarations had great impact upon history. Both of these declarations had great impact upon nations. But the declaration that we find here in Luke chapter number 2 carries far greater weight than any declaration made by man. There have been a lot of declarations throughout history. These are just two examples. There's been a lot of statements made. There's been a lot of expression of fact. There's been a lot of public announcements. But none can compare to the great declaration found in Luke chapter number 2. Think about this declaration. This was an angelic declaration. This was a declaration of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. This declaration would not only change history and shape history, but it would shape mankind's eternity. For through this declaration, a Savior, as it's already been said, had entered into the world. Salvation would now be made possible for all mankind. The opportunity for every man, woman, boy, and child that would want to be saved, want to be born again, would now be made possible. In our text, we find shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. I say quickly, this was a divine appointment. It wasn't just by happenstance that this happened. You see, these angels had orders from the Lord to appear unto these specific shepherds, doing their duty, doing their job, and they show up with a heavenly declaration. Notice, at the word, unto you is born, the world changed. All of creation itself no longer groaned in misery and pain. You say, why is that? Because in verse number 10, the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. This was a joyous occasion. It was a great declaration in which a dark world now saw a flicker of light, if you will. For our time this morning, and I will try to be brief this morning because of the business meeting and everything, but for our time this morning, I'd simply like to look at this declaration. Let me say first of all this morning, this was an awaited declaration. An awaited declaration. Notice, if you will, in our text in verse number 11, the Bible says, for unto you is born this day. This day. Those two words speak of a specific time. This was a long-awaited day in declaration. You think about how those of us that are born again, we are looking forward to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are looking forward to the coming of the rapture. But understand this, ladies and gentlemen, prior to the birth of Christ, the Jewish people were looking forward to what? The coming of the Messiah. They were looking for the Deliverer. They were looking for the Promised One. They were looking for the Son of God in the flesh. If you were to look in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15, the Bible says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is God the Father talking to Satan after the fall of mankind. We know the story where Adam and Eve entered into sin, and because of sin, the entire human race was plunged into sin. But we see here that God, all the way back in Genesis, gives the promise of the coming of the Messiah. You say, what are you talking about? Notice it says here, I will put enmity between thy seed and her seed. Now understand this, ladies and gentlemen, by way of physical things, by way of natural things, the seed for childbirth lies where? With mankind, with men. But notice it says her seed. This was a prophetic statement pointing to a virgin-born Savior. All the way back in Genesis, you have the promise of the Messiah being a virgin-born Savior. In Isaiah 7 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." That word Emmanuel means God with us. In the Old Testament, you'll find time and time again the promise of the coming of the Messiah. These people in this day and age were looking for the coming of the Messiah. It was a long-awaited day. In Isaiah 9 and verse 6, the Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." The prophetical fact that Jesus Christ would come and would be born into this world. In Malachi chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth had been from old, from everlasting." Notice the phrase in verse number 8, this matter of the phrase of the shepherds. They were in the what? Same country. Again, the promise of the coming of Christ. I say this morning that we need to understand that all of creation itself had awaited the coming of Christ. All of Israel had awaited this moment. All of eternity had looked for this moment. All of mankind had longed for this moment. So I see this morning that this was an awaited declaration. Secondly, it was an adoring declaration. An adoring declaration. We see in verses 13 and 14 that there's a great multitude of angels, and they begin to praise God and begin to give glory to God in the highest, and all of these things. They were adoring the Lord. Notice verse number 11, it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Notice that word Lord. You say, what's so important about that word? The word Lord means a person possessing supreme power, authority, a ruler, or nobleman. Understand this, ladies and gentlemen. Just because Christ came through the virgin birth and was born a baby did not mean that He ceased to be God. He was always God. He will always will be God. He and that little babe in the manger possessed all the power of the Godhead, possessed all the ability of creation, possessed all the ability of the miracles. He possessed everything that God had in that small babe in that manger. I think about in the Scriptures, the word Lord means supreme being. It means Jehovah. It is a royal or kingly term. Jesus Christ was born both Savior and King. I think about it. If today, say, one of those kings over there in England was to have a son, he would be born Prince whatever, right? But you see here, Jesus Christ is given the title of Lord. Meaning He's always been King. He'll always be King. I think about how He was royal in His birth and how that God allowed Him to come into the world with the supreme authority and the power of the Godhead. Understand, Jesus Christ did not become King. He was and is King. This declaration was an adoring declaration by recognizing that Jesus Christ was King. By recognizing Jesus Christ with the supreme power and supreme authority. They were praising God, giving glory to God. They were glorifying and praising God because the King had come. Notice such a declaration calls for the praising and the glorifying of God. Understand that prior to the birth of Christ, prior to Mary and Joseph hearing from heaven, heaven had been silent for 400 years. They had heard nothing from heaven. And then all of a sudden, the declaration that the Messiah was going to be born. Once again, heaven spoke. Once again, hope sprang forth. Once again, God would walk among mankind. Once again, the Lord would restore fellowship with men face to face. For when you looked into the eyes and the face of that child, you looked into the very face of God Almighty. I think about there are those today that say, well, I'll not bow to the Lord. I'll not recognize God as King or authority in my life. I will not ever give in to His authority. Well, understand this. That's absolutely okay. That's between you and the Lord. But there is coming a day where you will bow your knee, where you will acknowledge Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will acknowledge Him as your, well, not as your God, but you will acknowledge Him as God in your final judgment. So I see, secondly, it was an adoring declaration. And then let me say, thirdly, it was an all-including declaration. Notice in verse 10, the Bible says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to who? All people. All people." Then in verse number 11, it says, "For unto you is born." Then down in verse 14, the Bible says, "Goodwill toward men." Toward men. Understand this morning that this declaration was an all-including declaration. The birth of Christ was for all mankind. It was not just for one people group. It was not for the whites or the blacks or whoever it may be, but it was for the entirety of mankind. Think about how that it was not for the Baptists. It wasn't for the Catholics. It wasn't for the Pentecostals. It wasn't for the Zulu warrior. It was for whoever, whosoever will, let him come. I think about this declaration was for the entire whole world. If you go read through the book of Acts, you'll find out that there's an Ethiopian that gets saved. There's a Jewish man that gets saved. And it leaves me with the third man, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. They all get saved throughout the book of Acts. A European gets saved. That's who I was after. They all get saved in the book of Acts. And that is the fact that the gospel is for all mankind. That Jesus Christ came for the entirety of the world. The declaration brings two things to all mankind. One, it brings good tidings. Good tidings. I don't know about you, but I enjoy some good news. We don't see it a lot of times in our day and age, but I enjoy good news. This was good news. Simply put, light had entered into a dark world. Not only that, but it was a call for great joy. Hope now entered a lost world where there was no salvation. There was no hope, but now hope sprang forth. In Isaiah chapter 42 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to who? The Gentiles. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sat in darkness out of the prison house." A Rock of Ages guy has got to bring up prison. But anyway, I think about how that there was a hope that sprang forth here. How that the Gentiles now had access. How that the Gentiles now had a Savior that had come forth. Luke 2, verse 32, it says, "A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel." Jesus had come to save whosoever. John 1, verse 12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Romans 10, 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." 2 Peter verse chapter 3 and verse number 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The announcement, the declaration of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was given so that all could be saved, so that whosoever could be saved, so the cleanest could be saved, so the vilest could be saved, so the red, the yellow, the black and white could be saved. There are no prejudices with God. We are all sinners. We are all condemned in our own righteousness, and it is by Christ that we can be redeemed. And then I think about lastly this morning, it was a declaration that required action. It was a declaration that required action. After these shepherds saw this announcement and this declaration, and they saw these angels, the Bible says the angel went away from them. And notice down in verse number 15, it says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another." Notice here, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." You see, this declaration was not something these men could let go by. It was not something that they could just let pass them by. They had to go. They had to see for themselves. Their first action was to go, to move in a direction. Their second action was to seek the Savior. understand this, ladies and gentlemen. We as people, we as believers, we need to be willing to go. And we need to be willing to seek whoever the Savior is. We need to be willing to find out what God has given us to do. We need to find out what the will of the Lord is for our lives. And I think about those that are lost this morning. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, there's a world full of women, men and women out there that are seeking something. They're looking for fulfillment in life. They're looking for some way to fill the God-sized hole that exists inside of them. And I think about this morning, whether you know it or not, there is a God-sized hole that is inside every human being. And the only thing that can fill that hole is the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many men and women who try to fill that hole with drugs and alcohol and other addictions. There are many women, men and women who try to fill that hole with material things, money and wealth and types of things like that. There are those that try to fill it with friendship and relationships and all of those different things. But understand this, the only thing that can satisfy the soul is the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about Psalms 34 and verse 10. The Bible says, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." You know, a lot of people think, well, if I get saved, I got to give up all of these wonderful things. I got to give up all of these good things. Understand this, ladies and gentlemen, since I've been saved, the Lord's given me every good thing that I've ever wanted and that I have ever needed. You know, there's some things that I've wanted that He hadn't given to me. Why? I didn't need them. They weren't things that I needed. They weren't things that they were things that would sidetrack me. They were things that would get me out of the will of God. But as far as what I've wanted that has been good for me and the blessings of God, I could stand here all day and tell you about the goodness of the Lord and how He's blessed. The Bible says in Psalms 105 and verse number 4, it says, "Seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face evermore." Notice, for those that seek the Lord do not want any good thing. Jesus was more than ever could be expected. I think about as these shepherds, they came to Bethlehem and they saw this and they came with haste. And notice verse 17, it says, "And when they seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." These shepherds were so impacted by this that they had to tell somebody, that they had to proclaim it to somebody. I don't know if you ever read that article. There was a missionary recently that was trying to go to an isolated tribe on an island in the Indian Ocean, and he was killed because of his actions and what he tried to do. But there was a man that came out and he wrote an article, and he said, "I'm a Christian, but I've never told anybody." And he was knocking that fella, and he was kind of tearing that fella down for what he had done and basically labeling him as a fanatic and crazy. But I think about how that fella, he made that statement. He said, "I never told anybody that I'm a Christian." I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but he don't serve the same Savior that I serve. Because there are times in my life where I get the case of I can't help it, and I want to tell somebody about the Lord. I want to say something about the goodness of God. I want to proclaim what the Lord has done. So in closing this morning, I simply say this, those of us that are born again, we must make this declaration known. You think about the time of Christmas and all that is going on around us. You think about the celebrations and you think about the time to come together as families. And you think about the time that we have out when we're shopping and we're going about all that we're going on. You think about the time we have as families together. We as believers need to declare what God has done. We need to declare the reason, and you've heard it, for the season is the Lord Jesus Christ. My children don't need to know. They know about the Grinch and they know about all that stuff, but they need to know about Jesus. They need to understand about the Lord. They need to understand that it's not about the lights and the packages and all of that stuff, but it's about Christ. I think about those of us that are in the workforce and we go out in the community. There's all those around us that need to know about the Lord. You say, how do I bring it up? Well, it's very simple. You talk about a Christmas tree. Hey, let me tell you about the cross. That was a tree. You look at the lights. Let me tell you about the light of the world. You look about the presents. Let me tell you about the greatest gift that was ever given. You see, ladies and gentlemen, here's a great declaration. And we as believers have a responsibility to declare the same things the angels have declared. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And then this morning, maybe you're here, you've lost, there's never been a time in your life that you've accepted Christ as Savior. You'll never hear a greater declaration than this. You'll never hear a greater declaration that a Savior has come. And I think about that Savior, as Doug taught in Sunday school this morning. He talked about a personal Savior, a personal relationship. I'm thankful this morning I have a personal relationship with my wife. I have a personal relationship with my children, my family, my mother, my father, all of those. I've got a personal, but I've got a personal relationship with God Almighty through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people talk about the Lord, but they talk about Him like maybe somebody they are acquainted with or somebody they know way out yonder. They don't have that inward personal relationship. Understand this morning, ladies and gentlemen, the great news is that a Savior has come and He desires a personal relationship with you. Then I think about, secondly, lost person, Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether you want to acknowledge Him or not, He's the one that's in control of this thing. And I say, as I've already said in my message earlier, I got ahead of myself, one day you will acknowledge Him as Lord. Your knee will bow, your tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Then I think about, thirdly, whosoever can be saved. You know, I'm thankful that I acknowledge Him Lord here, but one day I'm going to acknowledge Him as Lord face to face. I'm going to have my opportunity to bow my knee and give praise and glory and honor and worship to Him. That day's coming. But those of us that might reject the Lord Jesus, your day's coming, but you won't have that opportunity. Your day will come in final judgment. Then I say, lastly, a lost person, your action is required. The declaration has been given. Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save sinners. The opportunity is yours. Now is the opportunity and the time for action. As Miss Lisa comes to the piano to play a hymn of invitation, as I've already said, those of us that are believers, are we declaring what God has done, and are we declaring in this season the great things, the great gift that God has given us? And then, sinner, this morning, are you here lost and undone without God? Your action is required. I can't save you. I can't get you in the altar. No one in this room would dare do that. But understand this, you need to be born again. Father, we love You.